Yeah, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for another time to read your Bible, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll open our eyes, open our hearts, and as we read your words, Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom beyond ourselves to understand and to get a true glimpse of who you are so that we can know you more and seek you better. We thank you, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, guys. I'm actually going to kind of cram two passages together today. They're not explicitly linked, maybe not even relevant. I don't know. You guys listen and you tell me. The first passage is going to be from Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 21, or 17 through 20. And the second passage is going to be from Matthew 7, 21. Yeah. 21 through 27. Yeah, so let me read for you guys. Oh, and the beginning of the year is always kind of nice because you can automatically know what days these passages are from. Matthew 5 is from the 5th of January, and Matthew 7 is from the 7th. Of January. So let me read for you. This is Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I think about this passage a lot, actually, because there is a lot of times people have these conversations about how Jesus came and nullified the laws, or somehow got rid of them. But Jesus makes it clear here to say that no abolishing, whatever the noun is, has happened, right? All the laws are fulfilled through him. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Read this passage and it scares me a little bit because it makes me think, man, there's so many laws to keep in mind, so many things to keep in mind. And like, I have to make sure I do this, make sure I do that. But as I've kind of tried to live it out, I realize it's not as hard as I first thought it would be. It's not as daunting because there are certain things that the law doesn't apply to us anymore. First, there are laws. I know there are commentaries on like the Ten Commandments, the one about keeping the Sabbath holy. There are people who say that it doesn't apply to Christians. Like Christians, the true Sabbath is Saturday, right? But Christians worship on Sunday. And the reason for that is because the Sabbath law was only meant for the Israelites. Like in the Old Testament, God never really commands anybody besides the Israelites to keep the Sabbath. And there are things like later in Acts, when Peter sees the sheets in the vision, and Jesus says, go kill and eat of them. And Peter's like, no, it's dirty. But Jesus says, don't call dirty what I have made clean. So there are things like that where, you know, the laws about not eating shellfish, or I believe it's something like a certain number of hooves on an animal, if they have that, don't eat those. So it's like the more I read and the more I get discipled by my mentors and talk to them and research and things like that, It's not as daunting as I thought it was, but there are definitely things that I would not have known that I need to be careful of if I wasn't reading the Bible. The culture does a really good job of sneaking things that are unbiblical or ungodly into kind of good morals to make it seem like they are good things when they might be things that are explicitly prohibited in the Bible. For example, like abortion and homosexuality, right? Big topics in our culture today, especially. But a lot of people, I mean, I don't think there's anybody who thinks that those are morally bad things that are participating in them, right? Or who advocate for that, but they are completely unbiblical things. They are in fact immoral, right? Unbiblical and immoral, I believe, are should be synonyms, right? So, yeah, but the way that it's presented in this culture, I think make it seem like they're good things. So people who aren't reading the Bible, who aren't understanding the laws, or who believe that the laws of the Old Testament are completely nullified, I think can be setting themselves up for failure and putting themselves in the trap. And yeah, and as I promised, this is chapter 7, verses 21 through 27. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in. I'm sorry, let me start over. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sands. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So, Lord, Lord, but then Jesus says, nope, I never knew you. That should be somewhat frightening for a lot of us. It is frightening for me when I, especially when I first read it, because I didn't really understand. It kind of sounded like there are people who are out there who truly believe that they are Christian, but by some sort of luck of the draw, some people are admitted in and some people aren't. That was my immature understanding of this passage a while ago. Because these people are prophesying, these people are casting out demons and doing mighty works in the name of Jesus, right? And that's what I've equated faith to be. But you read on and you see that, you know, that it's not just about doing these works. It's not just about purely doing the works for the work's sake. You know, it's people who actually listen to the words of Jesus, who actually follow him. The works by themselves are nothing. It's our desire to follow Christ and to submit under his lordship that is really what the whole Lord, Lord determining factor will be. So yeah, if you guys are out there and you're not sure if you're going to heaven or not, and this and you're worried that you might fall into the category of the workers of lawlessness, those people who are not allowed into the kingdom of heaven, then I think you should examine yourself and see, have I listened to the words of Christ and taken it to heart and let it transform me and given me a new birth? Or have you just heard it and said, all right, cool, and walked away? It's something to consider. And I know I said they were kind of loosely related, but the connection that I see is if you aren't really seeking out Jesus and kind of what he came to do, you might fall into the category of the workers of lawlessness. And Jesus made it clear he came to fulfill the laws. I hope that reading the Bible together will help us be more informed of the laws, help us be more informed of the morals that Jesus, that God gave us, so that we aren't unwillingly and unintentionally becoming the people who promote lawlessness. But may we be people who really hear the words of God and place that as a foundation of our faith. But in order to do that, you have to know the words of God, and they're right in front of us in this Bible. So yeah, I hope that connection made sense to you guys. It did to me. It might not be relevant, but you be the judge of that. You tell me. If I've made a connection where there is none, I apologize. But, you know, at least you got a 2-for-1 today. two passages. So, yeah, let's continue to read the Bible, guys, and talk to you guys next time.